What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin, over the devil and all his devices. Today, we're talking about narcissism again. And originally, I was going to give you 9 or 10 ways of guarding against narcissism. Originally, I had 9 or 10 points that I had jammed into one sermon. It was real long, and I kept trying to cut it down to make it shorter. And so I realized that I better just do one point at a time. And so that's what I'm going to do today. Well, before I get into this, I want to just reiterate a few things. There's two kinds of narcissists, mainly two. There's the covert narcissist and the overt. The overt is also called the grandiose narcissist. This is a narcissist that you can see out in public. They're usually mean, destructive, verbally abusive. They're right out in the open, okay? And they're usually in a position of power. They may be a celebrity. And they can act this way because they have power over people. They can fire people. Then there's the covert narcissist who hides or masks who they are. So they have the same tendencies, self-centered, proud, arrogant, can't be corrected, needs attention, wants to be their ego's fed all the time, devaluing, verbally abusive, they gaslight you. They do all the stuff that we mentioned, the tactics that they use. And they're hidden. And this is who you'll most likely deal with in this world, the covert. The person that's hiding behind stories of how they were hurt and all this kind of stuff and want you to have sympathy for them. Okay. In the past, I've said that covert narcissists are like energy vampires where they just suck on you and take away your energy. You often walk away drained, tired, exhausted from dealing with them. And that's because they're spiritually taking something from you. That should alarm you if you're in a relationship with somebody like that now. That should really alarm you. You may feel like, well, nothing's physically happening. I'm not being physically abused. No, you got to take care of your spirit. You got to take care of your soul. So they're harming you spiritually. But I use the analogy of them being energy vampires. But there's another analogy I want to use, and that's how vampires are in mythology. One of the stories of vampires or the mythology is that they can't come into your house without you inviting them in. So if a vampire comes to your house, they may yell and say, let me in, but they'll never step in without you inviting them. They may try to coerce you, to manipulate you, whatever. So it's the same with the covert narcissist. They can't get into your life unless you let them. They have to be close to you in order to harm you. They can't really do it from afar. They have to get close to you, become a part of your circle. That means they become your friend, your spouse, coworker that you work closely with. A boss, a teacher, a pastor, anybody that can become a part of your life and they get inside your circle, that's when they can do the most harm. They don't really do a lot of harm from afar. The overt narcissist or the grandiose narcissist, they can do stuff from afar because they got power usually. But the covert has to be close to you. They have to become your friend. And that's the first point here for the day, and that is to stop accepting people in your life so quickly. That's the first point of guarding yourself against narcissistic abuse. Don't be so quick to accept people into your life. All right? Be slow when you're dealing with people. One of my issues with Christianity was I was very naive in labeling anybody who said they were a Christian. So I would open my life up to them. I would say, you're a friend of mine now. Because you are a Christian like I am. And I thought that they shared the same values that I did, that they followed the same book that I did. And they didn't. And it was that belief system that kept leading me to get harmed because I would be open and ended up believing that these people would be trustworthy, that they would be honest, that they would be humble, and they would do the complete opposite. And I'd be off guard and I would get hit because I'm thinking that they're a Christian like me. And I was accepting people into my life too soon. Or believing them to be friends and labeling them friends and labeling them Christians. So what I had to learn to do is stop labeling people friends and stop labeling people Christians. Now it's you're an acquaintance. And that may bother some of them if we've been talking for a while. But if I have not found you to be a person that is sharing the same values as me and you have not demonstrated that over a consistent period of time, then I can't label you a friend. And I'll mention this in front of other people that I'm introducing them to. I'll say, this is an acquaintance of mine. but I won't say friend. And like I said, for me, words are powerful. If I start saying somebody's a friend, everything that fits inside the definition of a friend is going to actually apply to that person. Now, a lot of people use that term a lot, but they don't really mean anything about it. They may see the person as an enemy. They'll call them a friend anyway. You know, the same with Christians. You're my brother and sister in Christ. When I start saying that, that opened me up to you're part of my family now. And you think like I think about God, and you have the same values as I do. I have to stop labeling people Christians. I don't care how nice they come off. I can't label them that until they've shown that they share the same values as me. So the first step in guarding yourself is not to set people so soon. Just watch them. Okay? And make a mental note. This is an acquaintance. This is not a friend. This is not a family member. And once you see things that are not consistent with your value system, keep that person at arm's length. And just make a mental note. That is not a friend. That's not going to be a friend of mine because they don't share the same values as me. All right? Along with this is you have to keep your business to yourself. Because they're not a friend, they're not a family member, they're not somebody close who is a part of your circle, you cannot tell them things that could be used against you. So don't tell them everything. Just be simple as that. And if they press to say, why aren't you being open with me? I'm your friend, or you seem to be closed. And those could be shaming tactics, but they also could be just somebody asking why. And just say, look, I don't know you like that. Until I feel comfortable, I'm not going to share things with you that I feel are close to me. I'm just not doing that. And this is okay. This is protecting yourself. Once you have decided that they are Christians, you have to begin to open up, okay? True friendship is about being open with one another and loving one another, especially with brothers and sisters in Christ. There must be an openness there, at least. If you're still hiding things and running around on guard, then that's something that's a problem with you. So it's normal to do this if you don't know the person. Take your time in getting to know them. What you're looking for is if they share the same values as you. And don't blot out your values. Hey, these are my values. Do you share them? Because they most likely say yes. And they'll give you examples. If they want to be in your life, they'll just say yes. Yeah, this is what I... But words don't mean anything. You have to look at actions. So you watch them. Watch how they treat people. Are they gossiping about other people to you? Watch them. When you see things in red flags, you just mark them. Okay? As simple as that. Be slow to accept people into your life. Don't be so transparent. Don't tell all your business. Wait till they have shown that they share some of your values or most of your values. Now, for things that they don't agree with or things you see that's inconsistent with your value system, what you're going to have to do is either put them in a particular category and say, well, I'm not going to deal with them in that area or that this area, that area. Ultimately, what you're looking for is a person that is not abusive, that is not toxic, that is healthy, that brings some level of value to you. Okay. You know, you just tell people, I don't know you like that. I'm not sharing all that information. I'm not going to. Another thing about this is not letting people into your homes. Like the vampire analogy. You ain't got to go over everybody's house and they ain't got to come over your house. We don't know you like that. I'm going to meet out on the front porch, or you can, you know, let's just sit in a car, or and you may not want to get in a car with them. You're guarding yourself. This also means that you limit your time with certain people you have not made a friendship with, because time with people builds a bond and you start feeling like, well, maybe you just should open up to them since you've been around them so long. You know, and one of the things that narcissists will do is try to take up a lot of your time, and that creates a bond in some cases. You know, you're on the phone with them all the time. They keep talking to them. You start saying, well, I guess we're close now since we're always talking. So that is what I have for you today. That's the first one. I think there's about eight or nine more to go, but that's the first one. I just want to keep these short now, from now on. And until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.